It is 7 o'clock in beautiful Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. It's now time for Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme as we say good evening to Sluggy Don.
Manners and respect, greetings. I want everyone out there to make sure you follow the National Peace Program on all social media platforms. Follow the National Peace Program on all social media platforms. We had action going on all weekend, The guys went to St. Lucie, St. Peter. They went to St. Andrew. They did hiking activities, fishing activities, sporting activities, a whole host of action going on in all the communities. So I want you to follow the National Peace Program. If you're out there listening, you have a young person, they want to enter any activities, they want help with anything, they want to start a project, they want to get into sports, they want to get into studying, they want to get into learn a trade, all you want to start a fishing club, they want to start gardening, they want to start planting food, whatever they want to do, they want to do robotics, whatever the young people want to do, make sure you follow the National Peace Program and hit me up. Just hit me up, or you can WhatsApp or message my work number, 832-4365. Start an adventure fun club in your community and we will support it for sure. It wants the action happen. It want all over Barbados flood with adventure fun clubs. You know what I mean? Whether when they like reading, whether when they like video games, whether when they like music, whether they like poetry, acting, whatever it is, limitless. As long as it's positive, Ollie, and it is legal, we supporting it. So what are you doing now in my role and my capacity as a coordinator for all the men in the field out there? Once it positive and illegal, I will support it. I can get the support for it. So we're creating now a platform where we don't want youth to have any excuse, Ollie. You know, before you were submitting opportunities for youth in this? No. Once it's legal and it positive, hit me up and I will support it. For sure, you got me. The minister came on 95.3 Tuesday night and give his blessing and throw the challenge to Barbados, choosing it on radio. He said, once it's positive and illegal, he took the National Peace Program and let him know. Let me see how we can partner with it and support it. So right now, young people, we ain't got no excuse. So whatever you want to do, hit up Uncle Sluggy, 832-4365. This evening, though, we want to do Uncle Ollie. I want to talk to, you know, the average Bajan. Because you know, they got some average people at least meet a lot, Ollie, who's lived some extraordinary lives, do extraordinary things. And you and I will be here many days, many nights, surprised that we here. Sluggy boy, great show boy, and I never hear about this person. You understand? I want to highlight some more of those persons. And I want to encourage people out there to continue donating. Thank you so much. I get some backpacks, I get some books, I get some petty fees paid. I get some youngsters some help with Polytechnic and BCC. I still need some donations to help with at least 3 young men to go to Polytechnic and at least 5 people to BCC. Still want to pay those fees and still want to pay some petty fees. I still need bags, books, pencils, and all stationery. This evening, I want to talk to a young lady who have been living in New York for about 24 years. And I want to hear her experience living in New York and what she missed and loved most about Barbados. And this lady also gives back to Barbados. She loved the youth. She only have one child, but she says she loved the youth. She loved children. She loved to help and give back. You know, my youngsters who go into school certainly got some donations from her. She always loved to give back to the youth, like to stand silent in the background. But no, can't stand silent anymore. Like to shout out positive people. Instead of we trying to make popular people positive, I want to make positive people popular. So she can't hide anymore. Her name is Celeste Watson. Shout out to Celeste Watson. she was living in New York, like I said, for about 24 years. Moved there at about age 30. Moved to New York in all back in 1999. I want to hear from Celeste Watson what she misses most about Barbados these past 24 years, and why does she continue to come back home and give back in her own way, however she can. Good night, Miss Watson. Celeste Watson, thanks for coming on Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme.
Good night, Mr. Sluggy Dan. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for calling in. I love it. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm in Barbados. I'm home for a few days, but
hold on. Were you here?
Just 2 days.
Jeez, man, I'm from New York.
Yes, from New York. I just came for 2 days.
You gotta go back to work.
Yes, I have to go back to work on Tuesday. On Monday's holidays, Labor Day weekend. So I decided to come home, run a few errands, do some. You know, get some personal stuff in order. And also, like you said earlier, I had a donation to make, and I wanted to make it before school started. So nice. I did all that in 2 days, so I'm good.
Oh, you got a lot done in 2 days, man. When will you be back? Christmas?
I can't say, but definitely before Christmas.
Oh, good. That sounds good. No. I understand you're also a 20-year cancer survivor?
Yes, I am. 20 full years with no recurrence of cancer.
20 full years?
20 years.
No, that's a serious battle. And what age did you find out you had cancer and it was breast cancer, may I ask?
Yes, I, through self-breast examination, I was giving myself a routine breast examination, and I stumbled upon a lump. And for me, the lump was suspicious because it was hard. Because if you have a lump that's soft, it's most likely it's a cyst, because, you know, it's obviously filled with fluid, which is harmless most of the time. But I found that this lump was kind of hard, so obviously I went to the doctor, like, the same day. And
catch it early.
Oh, yeah, I went to the doctor the same day. They went through the test, everything, and then they gave me the diagnosis. And I was age 33 at the time. 34, sorry.
And now on the news of your diagnosis, straight away going through your head, I know at that time you had to be fighting to stay positive.
Well, when I was given the diagnosis, it was just the doctor and I in the room, and when she gave me the diagnosis, I went quiet on her. I went silent, and they called in a social worker. I guess they thought I needed counseling, and they asked me what's going through your head. Do you need us to call someone to assist you home? And I said, no, I was actually praying. I was asking God. Now, my mom, who died, she passed away in November last year. She was also a 40-year breast cancer survivor.
Oh, it's in the family.
Yes, so my mom was diagnosed at around the same age she was diagnosed when she was 33. So when they gave me the diagnosis, my prayer was, God, I've seen my mother go through breast cancer. I've seen, you know, I've seen firsthand what it potentially can do to me. And I just asked them, if you can just give me an ounce of the faith that you gave my mother, I'm going to be okay. And that's why it was quiet. The doctors was like, you're amazing.
Oh, dear. Nice. So from there, you left it all in his hands.
From there, I left it all in his hands. I asked him to put me in contact with the best surgeons, the best medical team. And when I tell you this, he came through for me. He gave me the best medical team I could have gotten at Montefiore Medical Hospital in the Bronx.
No.
They directed me. They made my decisions for me. I trusted them. I did my research. And I think, along with God, obviously, The approach that they had towards my cancer is why I'm celebrating 20 years cancer, because they predicted medically that my cancer would have returned within 3 years.
Nice. So having your mom there had to be a blessing, knowing that someone went through it and beat it.
And the fact that it's my mom is very personal. So obviously, I was a young girl. I was younger when she went through it twice, not even once, but twice. So I was able to see firsthand. Yeah. I mean, what I went through with my treatments was totally different. Obviously, because it was years apart, it was totally different from what she went through. But I saw her faith. I saw her strength. Mm-hmm. I saw her stumble, but never fell. Not once. She was stumbled, but she always stood grounded because she believed in God. And that's what kept her going, her faith.
That's awesome. That had to be a good source of inspiration to look at what God did. Someone that went through it, you know, went through the peaks and the valleys of it and came out on top. live a relatively long life. Someone went to that, seeing someone go to that, who is so personal to you, your mother, you probably have to be the woman you love the most, like Italian for sure, since your daughter born, of course. So that had to be such, like, you have to tell yourself, all right, God, thank you. You had the battle, but God let you know, listen, they're fighting this battle for you.
I'm telling you.
They're fighting this battle for you. You don't got to fight this battle. That's such a blessing. No, the road to recovery. How was your road to recovery?
It was rough. I'm not going to lie. It was rough. Mm-hmm. But can I elaborate a little bit more about the cancer that I had? Okay,
no problem. Go ahead.
I was diagnosed with what it's commonly known now as, they call it TNBC, which is triple negative breast cancer.
Triple negative breast cancer.
Yes, triple negative breast cancer is very, very common in black women under the age of 40, which I fell into that group. It's also the outlook of triple negative breast cancer is worse than any other breast cancer. The treatment options are very slim because they normally would, you know, mix like three or four chemo treatments together, you know, to fight it. But it's kind of, you know, it's a task. And then I was age 34 when I got diagnosed. My mom was 33, and there was like, that's not a coincidence. So they gave me a gene mutation test to see if I carry the gene in my body, which is a BRCA1, BRCA1, and I did test positive, so I had two things going against me, the fact that I was triple negative, and then I was carrying the gene mutation.
Yeah.
So what they did, I think the approach that the medical team took with me is why I'm alive, obviously, also by the grace of God, but the medical team, they decided right there and then, okay, here's what's going to happen. You're 34. We are going to take, they took both breasts, they gave me double mastectomies, and then they said because of the BRCA1 mutation, I'm at a higher risk of catching ovarian cancer, secondary cancer, like within 3 years. So they said, we're going to give you a hysterectomy as well at age 34. They said, it's not going to guarantee that your cancer would not come back, but it's going to lessen the chances significantly. And I gave them the go-ahead to do it. And I think, like I said, you know, with God at the center of everything, I think that approach that they gave, you know, that they gave me is what made me here 20 years later without any recurrence. Plus, I had chemo treatment, radiation treatment, along with the surgeries.
Yeah, Celeste, that was a lot to go through.
Yes, and I went through all that, like, in 9 months. In 9 months, I completed everything, the surgeries, the treatment, and like I said, it wasn't an easy road, but like I said, faith. And I might also add, when I say the road wasn't easy, I'm going to be honest, I just wanted it to end, I'm tired, but faith kept me grounded. I still held on to that ounce of faith and said, no, you know why? Because I said, I know there are a lot of women out there. And since I've been through breast cancer, I have spoken to a lot of women in Barbados who, because I advocate also for women with breast cancer, who also have, well, I know they don't test for the gene mutation here, but a lot of women now are coming down with triple negative breast cancer. But unfortunately, they're not given the options really like what I had. So, you know, it's crucial sometimes to talk to these ladies and, you know, to find out, like, where their head is at. Like, I try to motivate them. They ask me most times, like, how come my cancer came back and yours didn't? I don't have an answer for that. Like I said, all I rely on is that, you know, I rely on my faith, you know, God. I'm sure they do as well. And the fact that the surgeries that I had, the approach that the medical team, you know, presented to me, unfortunately, when I speak to women in Barbados, they don't have the same options. I don't know, you know, why the options are not given, but the options are, you know, are not given to have the full surgeries done. It's not an easy task.
Wait, hold on. The option is not given in Barbados?
From the women that I've spoken to, when I asked them, like, you know, did your doctor give you the option of we call it prophylactic surgery, or removing both breasts and having a hysterectomy. And they go, no. They don't. They just tell us to move the lump. And I was like, that's not enough. Sometimes they said they don't even give radiation. And I was like, no, you have to give radiation. Because from what I experienced and what I was taught when I was going through my cancer, the radiation comes in after the chemotherapy treatments to kill any undetectable cells. Because some cells are so tiny that they're undetectable. So that's when the radiation comes in. Now, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. The treatments, they can ravage your body. So then you have to change up how you eat, you know, it's like, you know, your lifestyle becomes differently, how you eat, you exercise, you know, some cancers are more aggressive than some, so some people, they're going through treatments and they're still, the cancer is still growing. So it's not a matter of me saying, well, let me eat healthier or let me run 2 miles every day. I mean, you can add that to your diet as well because, you know, that can go a long way as well, but... Like I said, I find that the women that I have spoken to in Barbados are not given those treatment options. And I don't know the cause why, but it just hurts me to see that for the 20 years that I've been cancer-free, I've come across so many women that had the same triple-negative breast cancer, that had recurring breast cancer. And when I ask them one question, did you have radiation? No. Did you take your breast off? No. Why you didn't take it off? Well, because the doctor said it was okay to just take the lump out. So, like I said, I know it's not easy for most women. You know, a woman's beauty is her hair and her breasts.
Yeah.
And some women, it's hard for them to make that decision to take their breasts off. But at the end of the day, like I told my doctor, whatever you have to do to make me live a longer life, just go ahead and do it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. People, we are talking to Celeste Watson, who's a 20-year cancer survivor. She had been living in New York City for the past 24 years, it is, Celeste?
Yes.
Yes, please. And she comes back to Barbados regularly. I figure she's come more than once a year. she loves coming home and also give back to the youth. No, Celeste, before we let you go, you see you're going back tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, dear. We can wish you a safe and enjoyable trip. Ollie, she's going back home tomorrow. Ollie, she just come and spend 2 days with us.
You said I'm going back home? No, I'm going back to New York. I'll be coming back home shortly.
So she's going back to New York, not home.
Barbados is home.
It's true. Barbados is home. Now, before you go, I just want to tell Barbados what is important to give back.
It's important to give back because... you should never forget where you came from. My mom had four of us, and I know there were times she struggled to, you know, to feed us. She struggled to put clothes on our backs. And then you see the youth out there, you know, some of the parents are struggling, the youth are struggling. So we can't just bash them for everything they do. We have to uplift them.
Yes.
We have to give back, show them something positive, let them see that there's a different side of, you know, how they're being raised, or, you know, everyone is not, you know, closed fist. Mm-hmm. There are people out there who actually love, embrace, and like I said, I love children. I only have one daughter, but I love children. I love to know that their developmental journey is a part of, you know, something that I have given.
Mm-hmm.
So helping a child to me is nothing.
Nice. I love it. And thank you. Thank you so much for being the warrior that you are, being the survivor that you are, being as great as you are. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in. It's always my aim, and I take, and Ollie and I take great pride in saluting everyday Bajan. Ollie and I take pride in taking positive people and putting that spotlight on them. Someone survived cancer 20 years, you come and give back for years, you never ever broadcast it. Ollie, she never showed the boat. I am the one who begged her to come on radio. You understand?
Yes, she did.
Lately. And you know, Sluggy, the reason why people love me because they're real. She don't care about showing this, and she was doing it for years. Don't care about the fanfare. I see people like that, I love.
I tell you what, Sluggy, we have a caller please on the line that would like to ask the lady a question. Ma'am, do you mind if we take the call so he can ask you a question?
No problem.
Yes, you can take the call.
Thanks, Ollie.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, hi. Great evening. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, buddy.
Thanks to the production team. And yes, good evening, sir. How are you doing, brother?
A bless.
Bless it, love. All right, so I have a question and a comment, but I'll ask the question first. The question to Ms. Celeste is, you would note that a woman's body going through from birth to maturity is really able to sustain itself and regenerate itself and renew itself over time. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, obviously, the monthly cycle. When you get a baby and you give suck, your breast lengthens your life, as well as the ovaries themselves, the uterus contracting and so on. All those things are what help to lessen what you had. So my question to you is, how important is it, do you think, to take back your inner woman and to take back your body in terms of a critical conversation on what you dealt with tonight with Mr. Dan? Mr. Dan.
How important it is to... Can you repeat that again?
To take back your
inner woman, your womanhood. You know, you want to be... You know, every woman, as you mentioned, every woman has one beautiful hair and a beautiful bosom that
they want to be beautiful.
In terms of that inner beauty.
All right, hold on, Cog. Ollie, bright line question for me.
I'm not fully understanding how do you take back your... Maybe you can explain it a bit more when you say, I don't know. Mom, do you understand the question?
Yeah, let him explain further.
Yeah.
Because
a woman, when she breastfeeds, she adds years onto her life because of the mechanism to which she's able to give that bond to her child. When a woman has been able to, over time, grow through the process even of menstruation, she's made beautiful like that. I'm just wondering how important is it for you in your own journey, based on the general principle of being beautiful and having a beautiful womanhood in your life?
Well, okay, as it is right now, I had, like I said, I had double mastectomies.
Correct, yes.
I'm beautiful still.
Praise God.
I'm still beautiful. Do I miss my breast that I had before my mastectomy? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. All I say is mind over matter. All I do is think about the fact that I'm alive.
Correct.
Like, I don't think about it. I lost all my hair. Mm-hmm. It grew back.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
The breast, they didn't grow back. They gave me.
Breast farm.
I had implants. Okay. No, they gave me implants at 34. I was given not the silicone implants. I was given something called a transflap procedure, which is natural. Mm-hmm. They took muscle from my stomach and built my breast back. So my breasts are basically from my body, from my muscles. At this stage in my life, building back my womanhood, like you said, to the current stage, I don't worry about that. I mean, it took me a while to get used to my new breast, but I'm great. I feel good. I feel beautiful still. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not trying to be anything else, but if you see me or see them, you wouldn't believe that I had implants.
Correct, I know. Yeah.
That I had surgery.
And the thing is about it is that is such a beautiful answer, as like you would say, because the comment is that as you go through your process from birth to death, you would find that the beauty that lies within you would have a particular means where that as you take back your body and as you have taken back your body, that you will have a womanhood that is that goes beyond any gynecological procedure. Your life is blessed and your life is beautiful, and that is where you are the way you are. So God bless you.
Exactly.
Thank you. Good night.
You want to know why I call 20 now? I call it rebirth at 20.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much. That was DJ caller. We're talking to Celeste Watson, 20-year cancer survivor, a Barbadian treasure, have been living in New York City for the past 24 years. How Yeah, how different is Barbados now? Before you go, I have to ask you that question. I can't let you go and answer that question. And anyone out there, before you go, see that anyone out there doing good in the community, you know, community heroes, community persons, call in and let us know. 434-1790, or you look at the phone lines, 434-1790. Give us a call. Let's have a chat. Now, how different? You're talking to Celeste Watson. How different?
Well, I can only speak about my communities and communities that I go into.
Go.
The village is gone.
Completely?
Not completely, but we need more of the village because the village raised us as kids. The neighborhood raised us. And when I said raised us, we're talking about strong men and women mm-hmm. who looked out for each other's children.
Nice.
We walk the neighborhood. We see, you know, adults that our parents probably don't even talk to, but mm-hmm. we could not pass those adults without saying good morning or good evening.
So the neighbor,
you know, you're gonna get a whipping for that.
The neighborhood,
but, and everyone looked out for each other. But I find out in a lot of neighborhoods, including my neighborhood that I grew up in, the unity is gone.
Where you grew up?
I grew up in Trier Pass in Andrew, but now I moved to Belle Plaine, like. Half my age, so I grew up in both parts of St. Andrew, but the
you call it what? Trier Park?
Trier Pass St. Andrew. You get to Sturgis. It's like a village between Sturgis.
No,
Trier.
Are you trying to tell me you're saying
Trier Pass, Trier Pass St. Andrew. It's a small little village with about 20 houses. Mm. That's it.
Oh, nice. And then you moved to Belle Plaine half of your age.
And then, I moved to Belle Plaine when I was about 13 or 14 years old.
Oh, nice.
Which is a bigger community.
Oh, nice.
But like I said, I find that
So you find in both communities, you ain't getting that.
You're not.
See, I had a big crop night and thousands of people come out.
Related. But in Belle Plaine, the community I grew up in, the unity is not there like before. But like I said, I love home. I love it.
Yeah, I see y'all had a crab night and thousands of people turn up.
Yes. They have it every year, I think. Unfortunately, yeah. I wasn't here to attend. But
Next thing.
Yeah. I heard crab night was a success.
From my thinking, though, it seemed like the community had that vibe every day, every week. You could find that energy happening in the community.
Like I said, I can only speak to the small section of the community because, you know, I live in a small section of Belle Plaine, not.
Yes.
But from my point of view, like where I live,
mm-hmm.
like I said, the unity is not there like it used to be. And that is something that I can really say that I miss. And plus, my mom is gone. My mom was like the pillar of the community. Yeah, my mom was the pillar. She was everyone's nurse, everyone's doctor, everyone's lawyer. She mm-hmm. was she was like the pillar of the community. So
what was mom's name?
Mom's name was Vivian Bennett.
Vivian Bennett from St. Andrew, from Belle Plaine and Trier Pass.
Belle Plaine, St. Andrew, and she was a 40-year breast cancer survivor.
Yeah, big up Vivian Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
Salutes to Miss Bennett. Like you said, was a champion lady.
And yes, she was.
Listen, right, Celeste, I'm hoping that this, I know it can be hard because we're looking at, it's saying that took decades to build, vanished so quickly, and took decades again to build back. But you see the community involvement, the community engagement, that's something they're really fighting hard to bring back in Barbados. And I hope they could bring back it somehow. And it got to start with the youth. So what are you doing with the youth? And thanks to the government of Barbados and Minister Corey Lane, National Peace Program, got the power to gain every single community, create adventure fun clubs.
And that's great that you have become the voice of some of these young people that have no voice or you know, certain adults don't want to hear them, but I'm pretty sure you listen.
Yeah, for sure.
You try to help, you know, you try to, you know, uplift them, show them a positive, you know, side of their negativity. So, you know, it's great.
Yeah, and the youngster don't want to be bad, and that we realize.
No.
All the people don't know it, so, you know, we look to lock them up quick, throw them away. You know,
children, we're all taught what we learn.
Yeah.
We're taught to be bad, we're taught racism, we're taught everything.
So they blame we the adults. You're correct.
Mm-hmm. We have to take responsibility for our children.
But we don't want to.
I know.
And that's what we find.
And that's the problem.
Right. And we it's don't want to. But we who raise the children, though. Like, we who got the soul.
Of course.
Like them is who we raise. And everybody said, not me, not my child. Everybody said, that's all. Not me, not my child. And so you mean them, not my child.
We you buy them me? Brand name and everything, and we give them no integrity.
She's like, it's so crazy. And I just got salute Bajans. Man, Bajans, you know, down for the cause. You know, they can't do it every day like me, but however they could help, they will help. I just got salute, Ben. I got salute Barbadians like that, whether they live in Barbados or not.
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of people who get.
Oh, we got a caller. Good evening. This is Chantel on the line. Good evening, Chantel.
Good evening.
Oh, yeah, so here talking about awesome Bajans. We got Celeste Watson on England, you know. Living in New York, but she come back to Barbados toy thing, make sure she give back to the youth, make sure she donate whatever she can for the youth for back to school. And she absolutely loved Barbados. She was talking about that community love in the community unity. She's saying how it was before it gone. It's not like it was before. No, you are a young lady along with your daughter Aaliyah. God salute to Aaliyah. They all have a youth organization. I happen to see you at camp, running your summer camp with the children, you know, close to 100 children. And I see what you're doing with the youth. And then you're doing a charity, a youth group full time. You're going to be doing some work with me in the National Peace Program, because anybody that got so much children, you know, you're helping them for sure. Whatever you need, you can make sure you get, so you can keep their children around you as much as possible. They want just in summer or just at Christmas. They want that as regular as possible. You got activity going and keeping them around you. You know, when you hear someone say that the unity we had in community is not like before, how do you think you can help address that, Chantel, through One Heart? One Heart is your name?
One Heart, One Mind.
One Heart, One Mind. I love it. How can you, through One Heart, One Mind, help to bring back that community camaraderie, you know, and that love among the people? And why did you decide to start with the children? Thanks for calling in, by the way. You know, I appreciate you a long time.
Hey, thanks for having me as well.
No problem.
My reason for coming up for the One Heart, One Mind is that my counselors are young people.
True.
And I think if they were between the ages of 26 to 17.
Yes.
And I believe that if they can set an example to these younger children and show them that we can live as one.
Using young people to help young people.
So we living as one.
I like that concept. Pardon? You using young people to help good young people. I like that concept.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's like one mind, one heart.
Mm-hmm.
So the younger ones will guide the ages between 4 to 15. And I find that children between the ages of 13 gravitate closer to persons in the ages of between 20, 17, 20, and they will more feel comfortable talking to those kind of people, because, you know, at the end of the day, all of these living like the same life. So
yeah, basically, it's true.
So,
no, it's true, and it's a good concept. And Celeste, that's why, right? Like, on my platform, Bim Got Talent, Celeste, what he's do is let the young people run it. You know what I mean? Obviously, you can guide them, because, you know, they need guidance and discipline still. That's how you achieve greatness. But I will let them run it, right? The ones that are positive, you know, and try to provide as much opportunities for them as possible. And that way, I find that the children, young children, is following the boat. I do whatever to do whatever to say, follow what they wear, follow how to talk, dress, follow what to do. So it's just the same strategy, which is work, because they look up to them. And like you said, they're following the same lifestyle, listen to the same music. You know, a 13-year-old wish that he was a 13-year-old wish that he didn't, when he was 30, he wished that he had a 19, so he could at least go fetting. You know what I mean? That the certain things you aspire to. So I guess that's why they relate more to that age. So I absolutely love it.
Yeah, can I ask Chantel a question?
Of course.
Okay, hi Chantel.
Hey.
Hi.
How widespread is your what you call mentoring program? I mean, is it where you help, you have the youth help other children who are struggling, like with homework or exams, stuff like that?
Oh, nice.
Well, yes, we have started this in the summer camp this year. Mm-hmm. This had just finished. It was a 5-week program. Mm-hmm. Where we were helping children with math and English and explaining some of the children what they did not understand. They understand now. So I don't want to break that connection that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that we will come to the charity and we will help with homework. We will help with whatever you need. Some needs, like if you need, I have some people that can't afford to buy things for school.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is they buy some vouchers and give to them.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it is. And she got a daughter that intelligent young lady too. So that's helping with things at homework and so on. Can be fairly easy for her. Although, but she's so young and stuck on such a used task at such a young age.
No, but Sluggy, that's great, you know, because I've come across so many young people that don't have that support.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
How old is Aaliyah, Chantel?
Aaliyah is 17. She's also
17 years old. That is so crazy. Aaliyah do so much at 17B. Like you say, this little girl, oh my God. Aaliyah help you with the charity, obviously. And if you happen with homework, if you happen with homework and so on, obviously no, Aaliyah gotta be doing that as well.
Yeah, and it's like the concerts that I had at camp as well.
Mm-hmm.
They say that they're gonna come on board and this is what we're gonna do on Saturdays.
Oh, at Hilderskin?
No, we will do it. Hilda Scheme will not be available on Saturday, so I decided I would do it at my home.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
And this is St. Philip?
Yeah. Yes,
sir. Oh, I love
that. And Chantel, is this a charity? Is there a fee involved?
No, fee is not involved because some of these children can't afford to pay for certain things. So
and I what's the age range of the children that can attend?
Well, we're going from ages 4 to 15, 16.
Okay. Nice. Okay, so
in my camp, I have a nonverbal child.
Okay.
We're right now. The last day of camp, he called Aaliyah name, and the mother was in tears because he don't talk. And he could call me like a sentence like "Icy ball." And so I
couldn't talk. This was a nonverbal child.
He could not talk.
That way you can't stop no Chantel. This camp that way too late.
No, you can't.
This fight that we in, like, this is an everyday fight.
Yeah,
you're like real talk, like. And I appreciate you doing that so much.
Are there like any after school programs?
There are after school programs, but I want to form my own after school program for them because I think the after school programs are just there to help you with homework, but I guess some do not guide the children the way they need the help.
Correct.
Yeah, it's when you find someone that cares or you got to hold on upon them. But that
and
is
you know,
so
children gravitate. Children know who, you know.
Children know who care about them.
Yeah,
love,
who care
love.
For them and who's going the extra mile for them.
Listen,
and
you the children love
her. You'll find the naughtiest kid would gravitate towards you because they see that love. They feel that love.
Yeah, your children,
and
your children love her.
And they know I'm not only doing this because I think the children need help. I think I need to reach out to them to give them that encouragement that they know
nice.
I can do better.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that,
and
that's
somebody cares for them.
Yeah, that and that'd be the hardest part as a youngster. The hardest thing is having someone that truly that you feel that body care about you for real.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. That's mean everything to a child coming up, knowing that at least one body really, really care about me. That will help impact your life more deeply than people know. So that's a great thing. That's a great thing, Chantel. How can people support? Give them the name again. Give them the name again and let us know how can people support.
One heart,
mm-hmm.
one mind.
Love you.
And Any donation is welcome.
Who can I reach you?
You can reach me at 237 9240.
237-9240 Barbados. 237-9240 or Aaliyah.
At 828-5962.
Donate however you can. Help out however you can. Shanta, lovely. I can call upon you.
Okay, I don't only want to say not crossing you.
You're good, you're good. Go ahead. I am
qualified in child care.
Yes, you are.
I am qualified in special needs.
Yes, you are.
And so I got the training that these children need.
Yes.
And I'm willing to help.
Yes, and it's such a good thing that you're using your expertise and qualifications to help out, Coyle. Like you say, you are qualified in child care and special needs, which is what we absolutely want. So that's great. And you know, you can be calling on you all the time. I just thank you for being at my beck and call. You know, I love and appreciate your support. But the reason why you call on persons like you is because you're all the tools out here in the community doing the work. You all are the experts. And I think that we, the public of Barbados, should hear from persons like you more. So that we could hear from a person that actually doing it. Because you know, not every time, you know, you hear about a lot of different people, a lot of different companies. Like me, I'll be home, and Danny Cole got like 40 Sanchos around me. And then I'll hear people playing radio talking about my community and all the children by me in my house. So I'd be like, where are these children at? These people healthy? These children here at me every day. None of my children didn't know them. None of young people for don't me know them, but they'll be saying they're helping from the community. You know what I mean?
It's not that you want credit, you know. It's just that, you know, you're just giving that help that they need.
Yeah, and for me, it is me, right? I always say so one thing, you know what I mean? I know all the time you say, not that you want credit, but we're showing you, you know, right? Many people be doing bad things that don't be shame. You know what I mean? People do a lot of bad things that don't be shame. There's got many befriended people going to court for the most heinous things and smiling. You know what I mean? So we got to start feeling bad when we celebrate people that doing good, positive things. We can't feel bad about that. We can't shy away from that. You know, we got to help create that balance. And as long as I'm in media, that's my aim, is to highlight people who doing positive things and bring it to the forefront. You get me? You can't let the people feel in the media is all bad. Nah. So a person like yourself, Chantel, I have to salute you. One heart, one mind. Give them the two numbers again before we end the show. Give them the two numbers one more time. One heart, one mind. I want you to support Barbados. Go ahead, Chantel.
My number is 237-9240.
Yes, 237-9240. 237-9240. That is Chantel.
And Aaliyah's number is
828-5962. That's my niece Aaliyah. You know, I love you, girl. You're doing great work out there. And you make it Uncle Sluggy Pro.
I also want to let them know that on the 10th of September, yes, we'll be taking these children to a bus ride.
Yes, a bus ride. We can around. Yes. Them. Free of course to them, food, drinks, everything on us, and let them go and enjoy the stuff that was good, to behave good, see last, to do a really good job, to learn good, and non-verbal child who couldn't speak. So we begin to reward them, you know, and be carried around and fill up the belly and show them Barbados. Shanta, thank you so much. See last, thank you, girl. I love you. Thanks for coming on the show.
I will definitely be in contact with you, Chantel.
Yes.
And of course, Sluggy.
Yes.
I don't think I could erase the number out of my phone.
No. No problem, man. Listen, this was Beardsy Rhythm My Rhyme. Your boy, Uncle Sluggy, my brethren, Ollie. We spoke to two outstanding Barbadian citizens today, Ollie, who just putting in the work for years without ever getting the spotlight. And I just tell myself today, let's do that. Let's shine the light on positive persons doing positive work in the community. This was Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. As usual, Ollie, thank you for controlling the boards. Thank you for holding it down. Thank you for making sure it sound good and everything nice and smooth. Biggest to my brethren, Mr. Ronnie Clark on the inside. Barbados, I love you. Thanks for your support. And I'm out.